At World Pork Expo in Des Moines this week, we're going to visit with Steve Meyer of Paragon Economics. Steve is a market consultant to the National Pork Board, and I guess our visit to Pork Expo wouldn't be complete, Steve, without an update on markets and the economic situation in the pork industry. One word I keep hearing is disappointment as far as markets are concerned for pork producers this year.
Yeah, it certainly has. I mean, we've looked at this year, and we knew that prices would probably not be as high as last year, as production was going to be higher. We were going to raise a few more pigs. We thought they'd be a little bit heavier, but as it's turned out, especially since April 1, we've had quite a few more pigs, and they've been quite a bit heavier, and those have put some pressure on the market. And you combine that with kind of a negative sentiment in the meat market over the lean, finely textured beef situation, and a little bit stronger dollar, and continued struggles of the economy with the unemployment rate kind of hanging in there and personal disposable incomes not going up at all, matter of fact, lower than a year ago. High gas prices. It's, you know, it's not been one factor. It's been the confluence of a number that have really left us kind of empty here as we go in. We didn't have the spring rally we thought we were going to have. I think we can still rally these prices some this summer, but not nearly as high as I'd once thought.
And as far as the rest of the year, then, what are you thinking beyond summertime?
Well, we're looking for. We still think we're going to trade cash hogs up into the 90s. We had some cash prices over 90 yesterday, as a matter of fact, which was a bit of a surprise this early. But if we can get those up into the 90s, we'll have some profits here this summer. That also would probably carry the futures market up and give us some pricing opportunities for the fourth quarter. We had fourth quarter prices averaging 82 to 84 coming out of the March Hogs and Pigs report. You know, if you can get above 80 now, you're probably going to be about as well as you can. So if this rally carries the futures up to give some pricing opportunity up in the 80s for those fourth quarter pigs, that's probably a wise move.
What about the overall state of the industry right now? I mean, we had some pretty good months there, a pretty good run. How would you describe the state of the industry financially?
I would say it's certainly recovered a dramatic amount from the lows after the run-up in feed costs in 2007-2008. My last calculations were of that $6 billion or so of lost equity, we've recovered a little over half of it, and we're kind of going sideways for this year. And part of the reason this year, of course, is high feed prices. I mean, our break-even cost forecast for 12 right now, which I guess it's half a year of actual and half a year of forecast, is only a dollar and a half lower than what it was last year on cost. I mean, we were at 87 and change last year. We're at 86 and change this year. And so we didn't get much of a break on cost. And so we're recovering a bit. It would have been, again, we thought that after this summer that financial recovery would have been much better than it's going to be, as it's turned out.
The big issue here is the big push for gestation stall-free pork. And the pork industry, I think, is trying to get their hands around this, their heads around it, and see where we're going from here. What kind of impact long-term do you see this having on the industry?
Well, a lot of it depends on the exact choice that you make in that move. Number one is, will you be required to make it or forced to make it, or do you do that as a matter of choice? The other one, there, you know, we could go with small pens, you can go with electronic sow feeders in large pens, you can go with free access stalls, which is a new development. They all have different costs. They all have some different labor and some different repairs and maintenance costs. The productivity impacts that we're hearing out in the field are not as big as we once feared they were from going from gestation stalls over the other. That doesn't mean they're zero, but they're not as draconian as at one time we thought they might be. Part of that all depends on using stalls for a period of time at the beginning of the pregnancy to allow those eggs to implant. That has been part of all of the agreements on stall-free pork so far, is that you can use them for a while. If that goes away, then the productivity impacts become very severe. So, I have some personal problems as whether I trust the people we're dealing with on this deal to stay by their word on that. The other one is the planning horizon. If you have to make a change in 5 years, it could be extremely expensive on capital costs because you're going to be eliminating some very useful barns. If it's 10, that's better. If it's 15, it's better yet, because it allows me to replace an old worn-out barn with a new technology instead of having to replace a useful barn with that. So there's a lot of variables. It's almost impossible to say, well, it's going to happen X, Y, Z, and here's the cost going to be. But I can guarantee you that that cost number is not zero, and it is positive. Producers will, or consumers will, have to pay more for pork. And I always put this out, you know, we raise pigs this way because it was the optimal way to raise pigs. If you force us to do anything else, it has to be suboptimal, and that means that costs go up. So consumers need to realize the decisions that are being made in their name by these groups. I don't really think it's consumers making these decisions. I think they're being used, having decisions made in their name by these groups, and those groups aren't going to have to pay the cost. Consumers are.